All right, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11 and 12 is what we'll be looking at this morning. But let's see here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning, craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Wow. The edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So he's explaining the purpose of the body. He's explaining the purpose of the positions that he gave. It says here, for the perfecting of the saints. And he gave some apostles. After he went to heaven, here in verse number 9, now he that ascended, what is it that he also descended first to the lowest parts of the earth, lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So he's the head. Christ is the head. He is in heaven. And he gave, what was his gift? He gave some pastors, some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now notice, pastors and teachers, there is no semicolon, there is no comma there. If a pastor cannot teach, he cannot be a pastor. Amen? Very clearly, he must be able to teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us. Holy Ghost of God, forgive me for anything between you and I. Please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I pray you'd use me now as your vessel. Father, I pray this message would bring forth in much power and boldness in the Spirit of God. Speak to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every pastor must give his vision, get his vision from God. He must get a vision from God on what his desire is to do, or what God would have him to do in that church he's at. But every pastor, but these verses tell exactly what the Lord would have every preacher do, every pastor do in the church, what his position is for, why he is there in the first place. Now, understand this, that first of all, the first thing you must understand in this is that a pastor is a gift to the church. The pastor is a gift to that local church. When God calls a man to the ministry, he calls him to be the gift to that local church. He is a gift to them. He is not a gift, so to speak, to the lost. He is not a gift given to the lost. I heard one guy say, well, you don't pastor a church, you pastor a town. Well, I won't tell you what I think you are, but where do you get that from? I heard a certain church planning ministry tell me that. Well, you get it from, you pastor a town. No, you don't. You pastor people. It's called a church. It's called a local New Testament church. I don't know where you got your theology from, but I can figure it out. Anyway, he's a gift to the local church. God gave him as a gift to do the will of God through the local church. This is God's design for His church. Is the pastor a gift to you? Do you see him as a gift? Think about that. Do you see him as a gift to the local church? Many times pastors are not treated like a gift. As a blessing from God or a gift from God. I'm not complaining about anything here. I'm just simply saying many times pastors are not seen as a gift. They might feel like a curse to you sometimes. But you think about it, are you a blessing? Are you a blessing from God to that pastor as well? Think about that. The Bible says a pastor should be spent, for you in the work of the ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Many times this is the case with the pastor in the local church. Listen to this verse again. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more I abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul knew this feeling. He said, the more I preach to you, the more I labor for you, the less I am loved many times. When a pastor is received as a gift and counted worthy of double honor, for they labor in word and doctrine. 1 Timothy 5:17 through 19, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Well, there's a clue for you. Especially they that labor in word and doctrine. Well, we've lost that one, haven't we? Treat him like he's a gift by taking care of what God has given you. Amen? Again, I'm not complaining about anything. I'm just simply stating the facts of Scripture. Amen? You're to treat the pastor like he's a gift. You're to let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Amen? I don't have any problems or any special needs, or I'm not coming to you for anything like that. I'm just simply sharing you with what the Bible says that you're how you're supposed to treat a pastor. Amen? How you're supposed to view a pastor. Amen? And this message is really defining the job of a pastor from the Scriptures. It's really defining what exactly God expects from a man of God, and what the church itself and what the church is for. We have this perverse vision today of what the church is to do and her mission. We really do. We have a perverse who the pastor is pastor to. We really have a really perverse mindset. We really don't understand the mindset of God on this, and what Scripture says. Remember, the next time you get angry, that pastor is the gift of God for you, and he has to preach the truth, or he ceases to be a useful gift. Even when it hurts. Amen? Believe me, there are things that I don't like to preach. There are some things that I'm studying right now that when I preach them, it's definitely going to make some people upset. Amen? Because it'll touch some of the sacred cows that are out there today. Only one way to take care of a cow, though. You gotta slaughter it. Amen? Beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Amen? Alright, anyway, but we'll talk about those later. Not today. Number two, the pastor is given for the perfecting of the saints. The pastor's duty is to perfect the saints. He was given to the church and they're perfecting in the Lord. That is the reason the pastor's given. He was not so much given to the lost, but to the body of Christ, that local assembly. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. Look at it. And he gave some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, pastor, aren't you supposed to be the best soul winner in the church? Nope. Aren't you supposed to go out there and be after the lost? Well, absolutely, because I'm a Christian. But not because I'm the pastor. Amen? Remember, I'm to feed the flock of God which is among you. It's the flock of God that I'm to feed. Nowhere does it say I'm to feed the lost. Now I'm to be a witness to the lost because I'm a Christian. Amen? But nowhere does it say my duty is outside of that. I am a pastor to people of a church. Amen? It's an office in the church. Oh my goodness, is that real? Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. Amen? That's how God intended it to be. I know we've turned the assembly into something completely different than what Scripture has. But that's what it's supposed to be. For the perfecting of the saints. It says that they that labor in word and doctrine are worthy of double honor. Our churches are in trouble, though, this morning because pastors do not labor in word and doctrine any longer. They labor in the latest church manual. They labor in the latest pragmatic program that's out there to fix everybody's problems. Baptists do not know Bible doctrine. Why? Because most pastors say they're too busy winning souls, so ship them off to college and let another man teach them Bible doctrine. I have a little problem with that. Well, actually, Scripture has a little problem with that. Show me where it's at. Can I ask you a question? It says here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God gave them to you. God put them in this body or another body of believers. Where do I get the right to shift them to someone else to train them when the Spirit of God put them here? Where do I get the right to send them off to somewhere else? Am I not shirking my responsibility as the man that God placed here? Do we not believe in this local assembly? Do I have to believe in the local body of Christ? Do I believe in the local church anymore? Here's where we've gotten away, and here's what's happened to our country. Here's what happened to our churches because of it. This is what's happened. God places them here for a reason. And God places the pastor in that office for what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God brought them to you as a pastor, or me as a pastor, into this body. You're to be the gift to them. Our preachers are supposed to perfect the saints. A pastor accomplishes this through the blessed word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now do you see why Pastor Cooley preaches so hard the word doctrine on doctrine and faith and be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering of doctrine? Because the pastor is there to perfect the saints. That's to make you whole, complete in the Lord, the perfect man of God, thoroughly furnished into all good works. That's the job of the pastor. It's not the job of the Bible, college preacher, or the Bible college, or Baptist ministry college, whatever they call themselves. That's not their job. It never was their calling. Why do you think we're putting out so many hirelings and not pastors today? And how am I too busy to do my own job that I'm supposed to be doing, my calling that God has placed on my life? Well, I can't train them for the ministry. Why? Well, we have training organizations for that. What about the Bible? What about the Word of God? Why have we complicated church planting so much and pastorates and ministries and missionaries? Why have we complicated it so much? Why have we made it so difficult and so hard that you've got to go through 4 years at so-and-so school, get a degree, and then have them send you out or their church send you out, and then you've got to go gather up support everywhere, you've got to do all these other things just to go plant a church or do something for the Lord. You have to run through all these obstacles. But overseas, they go over there, and they plant a church over there in missionary on the foreign mission field, and within like a year or two, they send their men out. They have them preach right away. You know what Sandy Creek did? Okay, they got saved. Well, you want to preach? There would be an elder, and then there would be one that is mentored. There would be a mentor and somebody that was being mentored. And he would take them on the road with him. He'd say, well, we'll see if the Lord has blessed him with the gift of preaching. And they would say, well, we're in this gospel meeting. You go up there, you go preach now. Preach what the Lord lays on your heart. But hey, we have it all figured out today. Nothing but Laodicea, folks. That's all it is. Nothing but Laodicea. The Bible is how the man of God perfects the saints. It's the purpose of him being there in the first place. Why have we shirked our responsibility in this country? Why have our churches shirked the responsibility in this country and said, well, we'll ship them off to somebody else to train them? So we have churches full of people today that don't know Bible doctrine. Why? Because the pastor has not trained them in Bible doctrine. Oh, they go to college for that. And then they come back from college, and then I listen to some of these guys and think, well, what'd you learn? Could you please tell me what you learned? I sat there and talked to a couple of these guys, these young guys that come out of college. I've talked to them. I've asked, well, what do you know about this? And they explain to me stuff, and they want to come to the church and everything like that and present their ministry. And then I just started asking them questions, and I'm like, this guy doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know Bible doctrine. What are they teaching up there? They're teaching the soul win and go to bus routes and build a big church. On what foundation? On what foundation? Well, let me tell you something, folks. When it gets bad in this country, and it gets real bad here, we're going to need some men that are in neighborhoods that are starting churches, that are ordained and sent out from other churches to start churches in homes and have communities that they have churches in right there, and they're going to need that. And we're going to need those kind of men. And those guys, all the other guys around are going to be looking for salaries and how they can make a lot of money and how they can move to the next level. And there ain't no room for your next level, friend, because they're not going to allow you to have a next level. You know that most Baptists today get ate up like a 5-cent soup sandwich because pastors are building empires and not preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ to their people. Their people don't understand the Bible. They don't understand Bible doctrine. That doesn't mean that big soul winning churches are wicked and that people don't get saved. We all need to be witnesses and we all need to do more in witnessing. But God's calling for the pastor is to perfect the saints. Notice it says pastors and teachers. That's one and the same calling. Pastors are to teach the Word of God to their people every service, to preach and teach the Word of God. Every time the assembly meets, they're to preach and teach the Word of God. So they grow. So the people grow. Not a gospel message every Sunday morning and then every service. This has to be this way. This has to be this way. Why? Because this is the way we've always done it. So we have to split them up and you have to do this. You know what? Maybe I don't want to preach a gospel message on Wednesday or Sunday morning. Maybe God's not led me to do that. What if you have 15 lost people in there? Well, then I guess God will have to lead me to preach it then. You're going to trust God for that? Yeah. Yeah, I guess I will. Be a good idea. Pastors and teachers, one of the same calling. What is the purpose, folks? It's very clear here the purpose is to perfect the saints. Why do you think our churches are in so much trouble today? Because pastors are not doing that. They are not perfecting the saints. They are not taking the Word of God and building and edifying those people. It's not happening. That's why God formed the local church in the first place, was to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. That was God's design the whole time. The pastor needs to be studying and praying and meditating. He needs to be laboring in doctrine, the Word of God, so he can give an answer to every man. He must be fearless to bring the whole counsel of God to you and hold nothing back. Turn to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20, verse number 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, and after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how, verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound into the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. What did he do? He held nothing back from them. He taught the whole counsel of God to them. He kept nothing back from them. Why? Because he was trying to perfect the saints. Amen? That was his job. He understood what his job was. That's my job, folks. That's the calling God's placed on my life. That's what I'm supposed to do, is work with you every single time to perfect you in the Lord by the Word of God. You should never ask the question, do I like what he is saying? What you should ask is it the truth? I'm not here to tickle your ears or to entertain your children or to be a motivational speaker like old smiley face Joel Osteen. I'm not here for that reason. That's not what God has called me to do. It's to preach the Word of God so that it perfects you. The church is not for a fan club or a country club, but to perfect the saints, that they would grow rooted and grounded in the faith, like Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says, let us move on to perfection. We're to move on. Too many of God's people today that are born again believers are stuck back in the baby stage. They've never grown. They have never grown in the Lord. Never got any farther than where they're at right now as a baby infant Christian. That's not what God intended. That's not what God wants. God wants His saints to be perfected, and the pastor, that is His main job to do. There's so many people that know the gospel, but have never added anything to it. But cotton candy, gummy worm Sunday, and football team Sunday, and everything else. But never grew in the Lord. Folks, I guarantee you one thing. People will not come here if they don't hunger to know more about God. When they come here and they see that this is real church, this isn't cotton candy, games, fun, prizes, spin the wheel, pin the tail on the preacher. It's none of those things. It's about Christ, that He might receive glory in the church. It's not about us. It's not about me, what I want to preach, what makes me happy. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. It's about truth. It's about soberness in a wicked world. That's what it's about. He said, preach the word to perfect the saints so they grow up in the Lord and realize what God Almighty would have them to be in this Christian life. That you grow. You know, you're never supposed to stay in the same place you're at spiritually. Do you know ever since you've been saved, you're to grow? God expects you to grow. He never wanted you to be the same, to stay an infant Christian, never to stay on the milk and never get to the meat. God never intended that for you. And by the way, the meat is not soul winning either. The meat is not dress standards either. Amen? That's not what it is. It's not the hidden tenets of fundamentalism. That's not what it is. That's not the meat of the Word of God. Goodness. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, not for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? What is he saying? I can't teach you the things I want to, because you're carnal. And that's where people stay a lot of times in their spiritual life, is that baby infant stage. Never gets a biblical principle in their life. need to get back to preaching and growing in the Lord. That's what's important. That's what assemblies need to do. That's what the pastor needs to do is to perfect the saints. Next he says the perfecting is done for the work of the ministry. This is where we are seriously lacking today in our churches. The perfected saints for the work of the ministry. We've used colleges to try and perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. I had one man tell me a preacher has to go to Bible school now because there are too many problems out there today and they need to learn to deal with them and be a completed man and trained. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. I hate to break the bank at the college, but and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I wonder if we did a study and tried to figure out how much it has slowed down church planting by colleges. How much that is by sending somebody away to college for 4 years. Can I teach you something here? Watch this. A young man grows up with his mommy and daddy coming to church every week, and then he grows up into a man and he's under a pastor that is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and then he grows up in Bible doctrine. In the church, his father and mother teaching them in the Lord and training them and teaching them and they get a burden and God and a calling and God calls them to preach. Well, they've been underneath the preaching for a long time then. Yeah, they have been. So then what's the natural next step? Oh, send them to Bible college. Why? Why? If you're doing your job, mom and dad, and I'm doing what God's called me to do, then guess what? They don't need it. What do they need it for? So let's say another one. Let's say a man comes, he gets saved, he gets born again by the Spirit of God, he's 25 years old like I was when I got saved, and he knew that God called him to preach. And what happens? He goes to a church that says, yeah, we plant churches. Yeah, we believe in that. Okay, well, God hasn't called me to Bible school. Okay. Because I don't think God calls anybody to Bible school. But anyway, I don't see that one in Scripture. But anyway, sorry, I just don't see it. I'm trying to see it. I'm trying to find it. I didn't say God couldn't bless it. I'm just saying that I don't believe it. I don't see it in there. And I really, let me say a bold statement. I really, really, really don't believe that God ever calls a woman to Bible school for any reason at all. Now there you go. I said it. Okay. The fundamental Thors of this world are going to send their hammer of lightning after me and crush me, but that's... It's just if you can show me that one in Scripture, I'll believe you. Because I mean, if you're going to be a teacher or something like that, I mean, well, I have a difference of opinion about that too as well. But anyway, all right. Anyway, I'm getting myself in trouble. I got to move on. But anyway, he said, well, there's so many complications, there's so many problems today that you've just got to be the completed man and you've got to go to college. Oh, right, because, I mean, he only said here and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint. For the fact of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Oh, well, you know, God just didn't account for the problems that we were going to have today. God, I know your word's eternal, but you really did, you know, I don't think you understand, God, that we have a lot of problems here today in this world, and I don't know if you quite understand that, and I don't know if God's design can actually work anymore, because I know it's his eternal word, and we take our salvation from it, but we shouldn't believe everything that he puts in there, right? We shouldn't follow everything, because, man, you know, that's just saying that God had it all figured out. That would mean that we have an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, an omniscient, omnipresent, immutable God that doesn't change. Yeah, that's what that would mean. So then who changed? Well, I guess we did. I guess Western society taught us that you need to add some professionalism to that book. You need to, you know, add some secular humanism to that book and it'll make it work. Ouch. Get them out of that local church, that pastor that trained them their whole life, and send them off to somebody else that has different philosophies, that God didn't place them in that body, and send them to somebody else who has different philosophies of ministry and everything else. Just send them up there. Huh. I'm sorry, but that excuse of sending them to college because they can better equip them. I've seen the best that Bible colleges have to offer when it comes to that, and it doesn't seem to be dealing with the quick prayerism, the lack of holiness, the false professions, the no repentance, the divorce rate at 55%, and a vast number of other issues. The higher education for the ministry should be working out, and most of them can't preach either because they weren't called by college and not by God. The Bible colleges aren't doing a whole lot about this, about the no repentance gospel. They're not doing a whole lot about the changed life. I never hear these things. And then when I have professors and doctors and everybody else that sit down, they tell me this stuff, and I go, well, that's not in there. Never mind, we've always done it this way. I guarantee you, these kings of fundamentalism, you won't reprove them. They will not reprove. They will not be. You can show them repentance. You can show them the truth. You show them their Baptist history. You show them the design from Scripture. They will not listen to you. They will not. But then I'm supposed to believe them when they tell me that you're making too big of an issue out of that King James Bible. Oh, really? So my authority that I, the authority that I get to even stand up here and preach this book, the book, the authority, I'm making too big of a deal out of it. This preacher went on to say, you don't have a camp. It's Jesus' camp. And you're not allowed to make issue of the King James Bible. And I tell you what you're allowed to believe. Really? He needs to read the letters from the anonymous prisoner at Newgate. He needs to read Roger Williams' letter of Redress. He needs to learn some things about, well, he needs to read the Bible. I tell you what you believe? Hey, Pastor, what do I believe about this? See why I don't like college? Bible college, it is. Do you see why I don't like it? Tell me what I believe about this. Please don't walk up to me and ask me that. Please don't do that. Don't ask me what you're to believe about something. What do I believe about this? Could you imagine? Honestly. Folks, what am I railing on? It's the church's responsibility to train their men. It was given to them. So I was 25 years old, and what? God called me to preach. What did I do? Well, I started preaching. I was in a local church. I got sent out from a local church to preach the Bible, to pastor a church. Why? Because that's God's design. And I'm so glad that I did. When I had others that would say, are you sure you don't know? See, Brother Finney, he didn't even realize. He said, I didn't realize that you just chose not to go to Bible school. I said, yeah, I did. He goes, I didn't realize that. I was like, oh yeah, I chose not to. I've had people say to me, well, if God calls a man to preach, then what if he needs to get away from his parents because he needs to grow up? Well, if his parents raised him right, he should want to be a man anyway and grow up. Why? What in the world were his parents doing for all of you? But no, higher education in Bible college will help you with that. Why? Because you want to be a lazy parent and not parent your children? I get a kick out of this. Oh, those are horrible kids. No, there's no such thing as horrible kids. They're called horrible parents. Hello? Come on. Don't blame the children for the way they're raised. Children do what they're allowed to do. Amen. If mom and dad are training them and raising them right, they will do what mom and dad allow them to do. And they will be children and very unpredictable at times. They'll come walking up the aisle and laughing at you in church like Mandy did last week. Amen? I just don't know why we can't get back to using God's simple model, the local church. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with just obeying the Bible? You know, this ought to be retitled, and it ought to be in that series of stumbling blocks. Because I believe the college movement has been a stumbling block to church planting. Because what I don't understand is these guys are so hypocritical. Because these same big fundamental Baptist organizations that send out missionaries, tell those guys to go train them and get national pastors right away and start churches right away. But in America, you can't do that because there's so many more problems in America. It's such hypocrisy, and it's about money. Listen to me. Listen to me. Trace the money. It is all about money. Why? Well, because when I train people here, I don't charge you anything. Neither do I want to take you out of your parents' authority, put you in a house somewhere. I think I done kicked that cow over, didn't I? It's ready for the butchering right there. I want cow tipping here, sacred cow tipping. I think I just tipped one right over. I'm sorry, folks. I think what it's done to America. Listen, go back to Sandy Creek and see what they said. They came in, they looked at these guys. Oh, you guys are uneducated. You know what? Yeah, but they're the ones doing something for God. They were the ones that were actually turning out preachers that changed Virginia, which changed the United States of America. And they were just a bunch of dumb hicks. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't that happen one other time in history? Where were those uneducated, unlearned men at? Oh, wait, those were the apostles, weren't they? Those were the 12 that were chosen. You know, those unlearned, ignorant fishermen? Oh, yeah, I forgot about those. Those are the ones that have built the foundation of the church on Jesus Christ and the apostles. Oh, yeah, that's right. But we figured out a better way to do it. We figured out a better way to do it, didn't we? Yeah, how's that working out for America right now? Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Folks, we got to wake up. It's the pastor's duty to train men. It's his duty to train men. When we start churches here, they come from here. They get sent out. They start simple models. I don't care if it's in a house. I don't care if it's in a little rented facility. But it's simple. It's here, ordained from here, sent out from here. And Lord willing, once they're separated, they'll have the same mindset. And they'll want to do the same thing. Reproduce themselves. They're to minister. When the saints are perfected for the word of God, for the purpose is the theme and the purpose is for the work of the ministry. What? They're to minister to the lost and dying world, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being fully equipped by the word of God and a God-called man or men as an evangelist that greatly aid them in perfecting the saints. When the pastor sees the great truths of Scripture, he is to pass them on to the flock. That is the whole purpose. Why have we put in this fundamental philosophy of, hey, we need another institution in between the local church and them in order to prepare them for the ministry? It's a bunch of preposterous. It's wickedness is what it is. All it's done is hurt the local church and the desire of men. You know how many men go up to Bible school? You know, I talked to a man the other about a couple months ago, and the kid practically killed himself. He was trying to go soul winning 16,000 times a week, and show his reports of everybody that he got saved. See, look, 75 people got saved. I was on the phone with him. Oh yeah, I bet. Where's that repentance and baptism and coming to the local assembly? Oh, never mind. Oh, 75 people made a profession while I was out knocking doors today. Really? Oh, for years against soul winning. No, I'm against sloppy evangelism. That's what I'm against. I'm against sloppy evangelism that confuses people. Because I got people that went to those colleges that come to this church now, and they didn't like life very well. In fact, one man that came from a Bible school that was here before, he came from a Bible school and grew up in a fundamental church his whole life. He wanted to die. He just wanted to die. He wasn't even saved. Just want to die. Thought about dying. How about the grind of that whole work and everything just to put them in? Well, you got to suffer. You got to go through that suffering of Bible college, all that. You got to eat, what do they eat, ramen noodles? You got to eat some ramen noodles because that'll teach you character. No, it'll probably kill you. But, oh, well, it teaches you, but it'll probably kill you. My kids love them. I can't stand them. I hate the things. Yeah, I remember kids used to eat them things like they're crackers or something. I'm like, hey, those things are disgusting. Who likes these things? My kids love those things. They're so gross. Yeah, that's disgusting, isn't it? What is wrong with that? I'm sorry. But anyway, hey, they're cheap food though, right? But they go through the end of your soul. Why? Okay, I got one for you. How about we use God's perfect design? They grow up in a local New Testament church. How about I don't say, well, everybody has to go off to Bible school? Every young man has to go. What if he's not called to the ministry? Why would he go? I got one for you. How about he stays in his local church? How about he goes out and goes to a trade school? He gets a trade or whatever God gives him a gift or starts a business or does whatever and provides and tithes and gives to the local church, meets a wife there, marries her, has a trade, grows up in the church, supports other men that go off to preach the gospel, and guess what? He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't waste $15,000 on Bible school. Because no, not every man should go to Bible school, and most certainly every woman shouldn't. Why? Well, because last time I checked, women really want to be married. Usually that's what God calls them to, is marriage to a man. First unto their father, then to their husband. I know that's simple Bible, and it's too simple. Preacher, you just can't be that simple in this day and age. Oh, no, I can. I really can be. And it wins me lots of popularity votes. All right. Fundamentalism has taught us that we obey the Great Commission by winning souls. That's part of it. But listen to me. Who are the ordinances given to? If I'm to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. Who has the authority to administer the ordinances? The church. The ordained man of God. He is the authority to administer the... So then if that's the case, then the only way I can fulfill a great commission is by what? Planting churches. So that you mean the great commission... Here's what a well-educated... he might have a master's degree in Bible college said to me one day. I asked him, why do you like D.L. Moody? And Billy Sunday. I said, why do you like those guys? He was supposed to be a Baptist, this guy. And he said... I said, they didn't even obey the Great Commission. And he sent me back a message. He said, they did too preach the gospel. And me with all my higher education and learning. I said, well, hey, Mr. Brainiac, sir, could you please show me where the preaching the gospel is the Great Commission? I know somewhere in that 4 or 6 year degree you have, you can figure that one out. And by the way, lest you think I have an attitude towards college, oh, that's the attitude that I've received from them because I have not went to college. I received it from a sending church. Do you know that I'm the only pastor that was sent out from that sending church that never received a love offering from that church? I'm not angry. I'm just telling you the truth. By the way, you can strike that one from the record of this message so it doesn't offend anybody else. But that's the truth. Why is that? Well, because I wasn't a real pastor because I didn't go to a real Bible school. Something to think about. Oh, by the way, neither did the 12 apostles. And neither did Jesus. And I'm sure that John didn't before he lost his head either. And neither did Timothy. I like that company better. Amen. Folks, it is the local church's job to fulfill the Great Commission. We are not just to preach the gospel, we are to plant churches. And I'll tell you, do you know what my vision is here? I want to share it with you right now. Part of my vision for this place is this, is that not only soul winning and witnessing and evangelism, by the way, you're supposed to be doing that in your lives, and I'm supposed to, we need to be better witnesses. We're the one that are supposed to witness to our friends, neighbors, relatives, everybody around us. We are to be our co-workers. We are to be witnesses. You say, but preacher, don't you see in the New Testament where Paul explicitly said that once a week you shall have soul winning at 7 p.m. on such and such day? You know, I missed that one. Well, don't you? It's every Saturday at 11 o'clock, and it's every Thursday at 7. And if you don't do that, well, then you just don't love God. You don't love souls. Folks, the power comes from personal witnessing, and we're all guilty of not doing enough of that. And I'll be the first one to admit it. I need to do better at that. Amen? First one to admit it. I need to do better. I need a better witness. I need to be a better witness for Jesus Christ. Amen? In my life, in my testimony, in reaching others, I need to be a better witness. But let me tell you what my vision is. I want to see us hold gospel meetings in towns around the area. And I want to see it advertise those gospel meetings and try to hand out some pamphlets and let people know that we're having a gospel meeting there in that town for that week. And then I want to see what the Lord does with that gospel meeting. Why? Well, because gospel meetings in Sandy Creek turned into churches. That's why. Brother Andrew, what was the name of that town we went through? Was it Waseca? Was that the name of that town? What was that town could use a good independent Baptist church. Amen? Amen? A historical Baptist church. Could use one, though. There's a lot of towns in this area that could use one. Amen? That's what we want to do in New Richmond. Amen? Amen. We don't know when exactly yet, but we know we want to. And we know the Lord didn't bring this all together by accident. Amen? Nobody could put up with me by accident. That's just the truth. We need to go into all the world, but we do it from Northfield. We need to obey the Great Commission by planting churches. And I, as the pastor, must take the Word of God, perfect the saints, so we can properly reproduce ourselves in other towns and areas around the country and the world. That's the work of the ministry. Also to be compassionate, kind, and preach the gospel to the poor, the shut-ins, and the brokenhearted. What did Jesus say in Luke 4:18? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen? That's the ministry. That's why we perfect the saints. That's why the pastor is to perfect the saints so they can do the work of the ministry. Why add an extra step in as a stumbling block that causes it to be a harder job to do? You know, if we got out of this mindset that we have to have a whole big corporation type structure to plant a church, I'll tell you something right now. If it's of God, we could plant a church tomorrow, two doors down. We could do it in the next town. We could do it in New Richmond. When God so gives the liberty to do it, we can do it, and it can start simply just like that. And I bet you we could do it for $100. I won't bet you, but I believe we could do it for $100. Amen. Right. Amen? You could print up some flyers really cheap, and you could meet at somebody's house. Amen? Next is for the edifying of the body of Christ, and we're done. To instruct and improve the mind in knowledge, generally and particularly in moral and religious knowledge and faith and holiness. To build the body up, to edify them, is to add knowledge of the holy to the body. That is what the pastor is to do for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the saints. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what he's supposed to do. Just like a father's duty is to train his children the way that he should go. And the mother's duty, so the pastor's duty is the same. He is to nurture them like a father does his son. Would you hold back that which would make your children have better character? Or would you give them everything they need to have the proper character that they need? I, as a pastor, should never withhold the Word of God and the truths of Scripture from you, as Paul said in Acts chapter 20, how he kept back nothing that was profitable, but he showed them plainly the truth. A pastor is to build or to edify the body of Christ or the local church through the Word of God. But pastors have forgotten that they're to be the chief, that they're not to be the chief entertainer or the politician that keeps the peace and capitulates to everyone to make them happy. We got to make them happy. No, we don't. But to perfect the saints and to edify the body of Christ. You know, the Holy Ghost is the tie that binds. You understand that? It's not us. It's not some philosophy. It's not some politicking. The pastor is supposed to mature the body or to be the mouthpiece of maturity for the Holy Ghost. He is to fulfill all this for this purpose, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Did you see that? Now listen to this, Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So what's this saying? This is saying that the pastor is supposed to be the watcher and he's to warn you and teach you good Bible doctrine so you don't fall for a guy that says the King James Bible is not the inspired perfect Word of God. When he tries to make something pervert the ordinances. I'm supposed to say something about it. Because there are many that lie in wait to deceive you.
Right.
When the government gets its intrusion into your family and your home and your church, pastor's supposed to preach about it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, that's the goal. We're to grow up into Him in all things. Did you know that that's the goal? That should be the goal of your life? And that should be the pastor's goal for his church, is to edify the saints and that they grow up into Him in all things? He's to build them so when the false teachers or doctrines come in and they creep in, they can smell it a mile away and they shun it. They lie in wait to deceive many. Understand that, please. But the job of the pastor, the position, the calling of God, I hate to use job because I hate using that, but the calling of God on his life is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? That we'd all be unified and walk in the Lord perfectly.